Please open with me, if you will, your Bibles to Psalm 120. If you're using the Chapel Bibles, I believe it's page 655. This is the first of 15 short psalms following the longest psalm in the Bible. These 15 short psalms are labeled in the ancient text, songs of ascent or songs of degrees. There's a lot of speculation about the meaning and the setting of these psalms, and I won't get into that. But I do want to point out that this selection of psalms is intensely personal. The psalmist speaks in the first person over 63 times in these 15 psalms. But they're also intensely corporate. He speaks of Israel, of Zion, of us, some 30 times in these 15 psalms. And they're intensely God-centered. About half of the verses, 56 different times, God is referenced in these psalms. And perhaps, if the Lord is willing, over the next 5 years, I'll preach through these 15 psalms. We'll see. I think it's likely that these psalms were sung by the Old Testament believers as they made their way to Jerusalem for worship. Psalm 120, the psalmist is far away. He's with foreigners. Psalm 134, it appears that they're leaving the temple with the blessing pronounced by the servants of God. But also in these psalms, there's a picture of the life of the believer, both individually and corporately in the assembly. The believer coming to God, the believer growing in sanctification, the believer, if you will, making progress by degrees. And isn't that the picture of our life in Christ? And so hear the word of God, Psalm 120, a song of ascents. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you, and what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? A warrior's sharp arrows with glowing coals of the broom tree. Woe to me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I had my dwelling among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Having heard from God in his word, let's ask for his help. Lord, would you now open our hearts, our minds, to hear from you, to understand and put into practice what we hear from your word. Teach us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the very word of God, and we thank God for it. There can be a question of how do you interpret the Psalms? There are those who would advocate that the Psalms are principally or even entirely Jesus' message, Jesus' experience. Whereas for many of us, we would also see that the Psalms are my experience. Well, I'm not going to debate which of those is right or wrong. But notice how this psalm begins. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. I did, and he did. July 5th of this year. I've shared this with some of you in various contexts. But after thinking my bicycle accident was resulted in a head wound, and that would be the most of my troubles, I found myself at the end of that day lying gutted and in pain and awake during a long, dark night. Literally gutted, cut from below my belly button to about the top of my abdominal cavity. My spleen removed, the wound left open in case they had to remove my kidney, which had a stage 4 laceration. Covered with wrapping and tape, but open. And I hurt. On the scale of Ed's lifetime pain, it was a 9 or a 10. Now, I understand on the scale of world pain, it was probably a 1 or a 2, maybe not even a blip. But it was my pain. And there was nothing I could do through that long, dark night. Nothing I could do except pray. And in my distress, I called upon the Lord. And what I remember of that night, I don't remember going to sleep, but I woke up from time to time, so I must have. But what I remember is I lie awake most of the night in that intensive care room, usually by myself. Occasionally, the nurses would come in and check on me. I remember praying over and over and over three simple prayers. Lord Jesus, suffer with me. Because that's what he does. Holy Spirit, relieve the pain or make me strong enough to take it. And Heavenly Father, deal with me as I am, your wounded child. And I prayed that over and over. Sometimes just in my mind, sometimes out loud because I was all by myself. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. Now, the pain didn't go away. It didn't go away for weeks, even though they closed my wound the next day, deciding that I could keep my kidney. But the pain continued. But during the pain, God answered and was with me. In my distress, in my trouble, I cried to the Lord. And you too must cry to the Lord in your trouble, in your distress. The cry of a child to his Father in heaven for help. Is your first response in times of trouble, Father, help me? Or is your first response, I can fix this? Now I can tell you that lying flat on my back in an intensive care room, it was easier to realize that I couldn't fix it. It was easier to cry to my Father in heaven for help. But I can also tell you that there have been many times faced with moral or relational or leadership or other struggles and trouble and distress that I tended first to think, I can fix this. And maybe you do that as well. And let me just say, don't. Don't. Cry to the Lord in your distress, and he will answer you. That's the message of the scripture. It's the message of the Psalms over and over. We sang from Psalm 18, I called to the Lord in my distress. I cried to the Lord for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry reached his ears. Psalm 107, four times we read, they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he rescued them from their distress. Psalm 118, I called to the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and put me in a spacious place. When the people of God, when you, as the children of God, cry to the Lord in your trouble, when you cry to the Lord in your distress, his ear, his eye, his heart is inclined to you, and he will answer. It might not be the answer you want. It might not be the answer that you think that you need. But God will answer when you cry to him in trouble. Maybe you've had the experience of being with a group of parents and children, and maybe it's a big open space and the kids are out playing, and then you hear this cry, this anguished cry of a child, Daddy! And the experience that I've observed often in that setting is that the ear and the eye of every father in that group is attentive. Is that my child who's crying for my help? Your father will hear your cry and will answer. Call to the Lord when you're in trouble. But call to the Lord when you're not in trouble too. One of the marks of the Christian is that I don't merely call to the Lord in times of trouble, but I call to the Lord in my daily communion with him because I love him and because he has first loved me. And call to the Lord through Christ. Now you might say, is Christ here in Psalm 120? Are we just imposing New Testament realities on the Old Testament text? Well, we see throughout the Old Testament glimmers of understanding of those Old Testament saints. Abraham rejoicing to see Christ's day. Moses esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. David calling the Christ his Lord. And we know from the fullness of the Scripture that it is only in Christ that we have access to the Father. He is our only mediator. We call on God through Christ in our distress. And what's the psalmist calling on God for? He's calling on God, in verse 2, we see, for deliverance. Deliverance from sinners. The psalmist is surrounded by barbarians from Meshech and Kedar. Men of war and not of peace. Tribes to the far north and to the far south of the land of Israel. And here the specific trouble, the specific distress that the psalmist is in is caused by lying lips and a deceitful tongue. The tongue. The maker of all kinds of evil. Spurgeon says it this way, though it's small in size, it's large in effect. It goes lightly but falls heavily. It strikes softly, but wounds deeply. It pierces deeply so as not to be easily healed. And being inflamed with Satan's bellows, it burns like the fire from hell. You've likely experienced the wound of lies, perhaps against you, perhaps against others that are close to you. Lies intended to injure, lies intended to deceive. You've felt it. I suspect. And if you are going into pastoral ministry, if you haven't felt it, you will. And sadly, you may at times cause that sort of pain in your imperfection. You've been burned by someone else's tongue, I'm sure. I was talking to a friend in this last week, a friend speaking about his ministry. And suffering these kinds of lying attacks against himself. And he said, I'm glad it's against me and not someone else in the church. And I appreciated his attitude in that regard. But he also said, it hurts. It hurts. It hurts when lying lips are used as weapons against you. And so the psalmist cries out, seeking the deliverance of God from those who would attack him with their words. In deceitful ways. The psalmist knew these wounds. And if you don't know them, you will. And you can join the psalmist in calling out to God to be delivered from the lying lips, from the deceitful tongue of another. And of course, from other sins that people commit against you. So seek the deliverance of God from sinners, but also seek the deliverance of God from sin. There are two kinds of trouble to be in. Trouble that's caused by someone else's sin, and trouble that's caused by my sin, by your sin. Listen to Jonah's prayer. Listen to how similar it is to the beginning of this psalm. I cried to the Lord in my distress, and he answered me, Jonah 2:2. I cried out for help from deep inside Sheol. You heard my voice. Jonah was crying out from the belly of the fish. Calling out to God in his distress caused by his own sin and rebellion against his Father in heaven. But God heard him. And so you and I are going to face the need to cry out to God, not just for deliverance from sinners, but for deliverance from our sin. Deliver me from lying lips. We say, yeah, let me tell you about the lips that have lied against me, but what about your lips? When was the last time that you lied or gossiped? Or spoke evil of someone, or grumbled, or complained? James tells us that the untamed tongue is full of poison. And perhaps the struggle of your sin that you're dealing with, that you're struggling with, isn't a struggle of the sins of the mouth. Perhaps it's the sins of the heart or the eyes or something else. Do you cry as loud to the Lord to be delivered from that? Are you serious about forsaking your sin? Because of the work of Christ for you. The psalmist goes on to picture what happens to those lying lips, those deceitful tongues. And the picture there in verse 4 seems to be the picture of destruction. The sharp, sharpened arrow of a warrior. The burning coals, not for warmth, but for destruction. Perhaps a picture hinting at the eternal destruction that we know comes to the unrepentant sinner. And so seek the Lord Ask him to deliver you from sinners. Ask him to deliver you from sin. And delight in his people and in his peace. The psalmist here is sorrowful that he's not among the people of God. That he's dwelling in Meshech, he's dwelling among the tents of Kedar, probably figuratively, because he probably didn't make the journey from way to the north of Israel and way to the south of Israel. But a picture of longing to be with the people of God, perhaps the first of these songs of ascents, as he looked forward to making that march, to being with God's people, a march that we get to make every Lord's Day. And maybe you live, like many of us do in the seminary community, around Christians, around nice Christians even. Maybe you don't have week by week the experience of the psalmist, but still, delight in God's people and delight in God's peace. Be in Christ for peace. In Jesus, who prayed for his enemies while dying from their crucifixion, you can pray for those who use lying lips against you and forgive them when they repent. In Jesus, who is tempted in all ways like we are, yet was without sin, you can have victory over your sin, whether it's lying lips or some other sins. In Jesus, you can proclaim the gospel, which frees men from their condemnation to the eternal destruction of the fires of hell. In Jesus, you find a desire to be with his people. In Jesus, because God forsook him in his greatest distress, you can call to God in your distress, and he will answer you. Please pray with me as we give thanks to the Lord. Our Father in heaven, what a joy it is that we can cry to you in our trouble and that you hear us and that you rescue us from our distress. Lord, if these your people are facing particular troubles today, the sin of others or the sin of themselves, would you even now hear their cry for help? And would you answer them? And would you meet with them in Christ? And would you give them relief from their distress? Lord, make us be agents of the peace of our Prince of Peace, even Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Let's sing these words to God in praise. We'll use Psalm 120, selection A, and we'll stand to sing in praise to God. Psalm 120, selection A.